The UK's leading sight loss charity, RNIB, has a new chief executive. Matt Stringer took up the post in early 2019, and we thought we would find out a little bit more about Matt himself, a bit about the job and his hopes for the future for the charity. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Tell me, first of all, Matt, what attracted you to the chief exec's post?
I'd had a 30-year career working retail, was keen to do something in the charitable sector. I've always been trying to put something back through fundraising efforts where I've worked or through my children, really, and was keen to do something before it got too late in my career, and was looking in the charitable sector, and the RNIB sort of emerged, and the more I looked into it, the more I realised what a great organisation it was and what a privilege it will be to become the new CEO. So, as you said, I became the new CEO at the start of May this year, so I've had sort of 4 months in the role.
I'm trying not to make it sound like a job interview, Matt, but you've got quite a career in the commercial sector. What does that help bring to RNIB, all that experience?
I think managing complex organisations with sort of dispersed workforces, most of my career has clearly been in retail. So, you know, when you run a retail operation with lots of shops and thousands of people working out there, it's a bit similar actually to some of the challenges of managing the RNIB. Clearly with a nationwide presence and dispersed operations, you know, in the devolved nations, in Gateshead, in Ivory Bridge, in Peterborough, as well as in London, it's important to be able to communicate to people and message to people. So I think that's a bit of a learning from retail. I think running a reasonably tight ship financially, you know, commercial operations at the end of the day have to keep an eye on the pennies, and I think we do the same. You know, all our fundraising income, we really need to try and optimise how much of that we're spending on the sector we're working in and not sort of spend money on internal things that don't really make a difference to the sector that we're serving. So, you know, I think the sort of reach to the people in the organisation and a grip on the commercial side, I think are two lessons I think I've realised are going to be important in the RNIB.
Do you think now there is more of an overlap with charities in the commercial sector? I'm thinking in terms of the way they provide services and perhaps, you know, fundraising as well, you know, that joining up a lot more, because it is challenging for any charity, big or small, at the moment.
The challenges on fundraising in the sector generally, so I think that makes it beholden on charities to spend money they get in wisely. If you're giving to a charity, you want to make sure your money is being spent on the cause that you've given the money for. And I think, you know, it's beholden on us to be very careful that we don't waste money on running the charity, and we're trying to optimise that money to sort of serve the sector that we're serving. It's a bit like a commercial operation in trying to put the best possible sort of proposition in front of customers. And there are some parallels for us, I think, there commercially in terms of trying to put the best possible services in front of the visually impaired sector.
So you've been in post now for a little while. If I was to ask about challenges, you know, or surprises, if you like, positive and negative, what would you say would stand out for those?
Positively, we do brilliant things up and down the country. I've been lucky enough to visit a lot of our dispersed operations across three of the home nations. I haven't been to Northern Ireland yet, but as I say, Ivory Bridge, where audiobooks, and up in Gateshead, where we do print services business. And I can see on a daily basis, we bring fantastic succour and help to the visually impaired community. And that's, you know, a source of immense pride to me that you can see that happening day in, day out. I think, you know, negatively, I think you realise when you're in a charity like the RNIB, how society isn't really geared towards helping visually impaired people. It's not really geared to helping people with sort of disabilities in a broader sense. But you can see some of the challenges we've had, even in my time, campaigns to make sure taxis accept guide dogs, campaigning on not allowing people to park on pavement so people can walk unimpaired if you have a sort of visual impairment. So you can see how society is really sort of quite unthinkingly not set up to really help the visually impaired community.
The financial challenges have been there for RNIB over the past few years now. Do you think things are on a better footing now for the future?
Yeah, I think they are, honestly. I mean, I think a couple of years ago, some tough action was taken, necessarily so, to sort out some of the problems that emerged towards the financial year end. Some of the disciplines that were put in place then have endured. So I think we're in a more robust position. But I think people looking at us from the outside saw that, and we still have to prove that we can maintain, you know, good financial disciplines going forwards. And it's certainly been one of the focuses I put in to the organisation in my time, is to maintain that grip and, as I say, make sure we're ruthless at not spending money on things we don't need to spend money on, and we can optimise serving the sector that we serve.
You're the chief executive of a major sight loss charity, probably globally a major charity as well. Do you think the fact that you are not visually impaired yourself, is that a hindrance, or has that been part of the learning curve for you as well?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think some people would see it as a surprising appointment. I think the challenges that we've got at the moment as we deal with some of the, you know, the financial hangover we just talked about, and we have a statutory inquiry from the Charity Commission that we're going through at the moment. So there are some sort of broad and deep sort of issues that we're dealing with in a period of great change. And I think my experience of 30 years in retail has equipped me pretty well to be able to deal with that. So I think I'm sort of a round peg in a round hole for the moment, actually, in terms of being the right guy for the job at the moment.
Has it been easy or difficult to understand sight loss in terms of staff members or even our service users as well, or our customers who are blind or partially sighted? Has it been easy for you to understand what that day-to-day life is like?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. You know, I've consciously tried to get around the organisation, meeting with staff, meeting with volunteers, different groups of sort of visually impaired sector across the country to really sort of deepen that understanding, actually. And I think, you know, my retail experience is you've got to be out on the shop floor understanding what's really happening with the customers. And I think taking that mindset into my first few months has really helped me engage across the sort of visually impaired sector to sort of deepen my understanding. And I realised it was something I had to do early in my tenure to be able to communicate and sort of build credibility. So yeah, it's been important for me, I think, to put the effort in over my first 3 or 4 months in the organisation to sort of gain a much better understanding. And as I say, I think, you know, you realise how society isn't really set up for visually impaired people. And I think that's a lesson I've learnt, you know, in spades over the last few months, and certainly will, you know, condition my approach and the focus I put on trying to improve society for the balance of my time in the RNIB.
We hear from people all the time who say, you know, we'd never appreciated what it was like just to do something simple like catch a train or catch a bus or go out on the bike or something like that. When you have sight loss, that the simple things can sometimes be the biggest challenges.
You know, a lot of it is unthinking. People aren't maliciously going out to cause a problem, but people are low down. A visually impaired sector is not something that people averagely consider on a day-to-day basis when they're making some of these decisions. So certainly as I work with and move around with people like Ellie, the chairman, you know, David Clark, our services director, and see the low-grade hassle they get on a day-to-day basis managing their lives, it really brings home how much work we've got to do to sort of change society for the better.
It's a challenging post in a challenging climate as well. So how does Matt Stringer relax or move away from the office? Because you've got to do that, really, haven't you?
Yeah, no, look, I'm lucky. I've got a great family. So I'm married. I've got 2 kids, one of whom's just had a first year at university. The other one's just done his A-levels and will go off to university in the autumn. So family time, walk the dog. I'm a sports fan, so I've got a season ticket down at Bath Rugby. So I spend my Saturdays in the winter watching the Oval Ball. I'm a keen reader, so very fitting. I'm talking to you from our Camden studios today. I'm a real bibliophile. I have too many books on the go, so I read a lot. So, you know, a sort of blend of interests there and hobbies, which I certainly make sure I commit time to outside work.
You mentioned going around some of the RNIB sites, visiting the staff and so on. I think it's important that all staff really have an understanding of how the whole organisation works to work more cohesively.
No, absolutely. I think it's critical. I mean, I think, again, my, you know, learnings from retail is you've really got us to communicate to a dispersed organisation very genuinely and openly and personally, actually, to make people really feel bought into what you're trying to do. There's no point sitting in Judd Street in London broadcasting and expecting everybody to get it. We've changed the communication style in my time, so we've sort of moved to a monthly company update session where we stand in front of people. We've taken it on the road out of London to Peterborough. We're going to take it on the road out to Edinburgh, Cardiff and Belfast in the course of my first year, and not only give a chance for those of us in the centre as such to update the organisation, but also give a chance for people working out in the organisation to tell the organisation the brilliant things they're doing. So I think it's really important to have a very open and honest communication style.
This is probably quite a big question, but if we were to look at perhaps a main priority for you as chief executive at the moment, was there something that would stand out, or perhaps a couple of things?
Yeah, I think working on employment. It's scandalous how few people who want to work work. And again, I think it's more, you know, a sort of unfortunate consequence as opposed to anything meaningful. But having come from a commercial background over 30 years, I know how maybe little focus, you know, organisations put into thinking about employing disabled and in our sector visually impaired people. And I think there's a big opportunity for us to think a little differently in engaging with commerce and different business organisations to try and move the dial on employment. If you think about how many GCSEs, A-levels, degrees, qualifications generally have been, you know, acquired by visually impaired people who are not working, it's a real wasted talent, really, isn't it, that we need to find a way of society unlocking. So that would be, you know, maybe my primary focus would be on employment.
Do you think that R&IB, along with other sight loss charities, then need to show the way, employing or training, promoting, giving more blind and partially sighted people the chance of work, of employment, to basically justify what you're saying to other companies?
We should be an exemplar. In my time, I've done is give a lick of paint to our office in Judd Street, which was a bit dowdy, and we've been using that as an opportunity to really push internally the sort of accessibility agenda, which is a combination of things of providing people with, you know, the working environment, the technology, the office space works to make us sort of beyond reproach when it comes to being an employer of visually impaired people. And so I'm very proud actually of the things we've done over the summer. More to do, you know, we still got to keep going, we can't rest on our laurels, but you know, if we are going out there trying to champion employment, then we've got to be, you know, as I say, that role model as an employer, and there's probably still a bit of work to do there at the moment. But no, we need to make sure we are absolutely sort of giving opportunity to visually impaired people in roles in the R&IB, both as salaried employees and also in our volunteer network as well.
If we're looking ahead to 2020, we're coming to the end of 2019 at the moment, and charities look ahead, sometimes years ahead. What would you say people can look out for from R&IB? Any big changes on the horizon, or perhaps any pathways or goals you're looking to achieve?
The strategy is set. I mean, I think it's the detail of what we do within that. And as I say, I think it's energetic campaigns around employment. And I think my sense of making sure we put brilliant services in front of customers, the R&IB needs to carry on building customer contact platform that we can know who's out there in the visually impaired community and be able to put the right sort of goods and services in front of them as seamlessly as possible. So I think those would be two things that I would be keen to sort of look back on at the end of 2020 and see that we'd sort of move the dial on.
Matt, we will catch up with you again, actually just at Christmas time, for our Chief Exec's Review of the Year. We'll look back at 2019 and ahead to 2020 for R&IB. But for the moment, thank you for speaking with us on R&IB Connect Radio.
Delighted to be on. Thank you for having me.